My thoughts this morning are centered on the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20. Matthew, chapter 20. While you're turning there, I will say that it's been a summer of travel for us, unlike any that we've ever had. We've been in a number of places. We've had tremendous blessings while being there, but it is definitely time to be home, and we're thankful to have a place to come back home to. It's good to be in McClenny Church today. Matthew chapter 20 is one of the kingdom parables of Jesus. There are several others. There are the parable of the wedding feast. There's the parable of the 10 virgins. This is the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. I will read through the first 16 verses, and then we'll talk about what I believe this parable to mean. We'll give the context and the meaning. I'm a believer that every parable has one meaning. There's not several meanings, there's one meaning, but there are often several applications of the parable, and that's why Jesus taught in parables. It can be frustrating at times reading them and trying to understand, well, why didn't Jesus just tell us plainly? Well, because he has a central meaning, but multiple applications that would have been lost with a straightforward description. So this is speaking of the kingdom. Verse 1, "For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give to you. And they went their way. And he went about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and he found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, that shall ye receive. And when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired in the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. And he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way, and I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do with what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen." So this is a kingdom parable. What we see here, what Jesus is addressing, is the coming of his kingdom. Now remember, the context here is he is speaking to a largely Jewish audience. And the Jewish audience had been under a very different system and set of rules and government that we now have. They were the chosen. They were Israel. It was them and everyone else. You were either part of Israel and you got to worship the true and living God, or you were not and you had no access to him. Now, being a Jew, you had a lot of rules and regulations. The Deuteronomy and Leviticus are full of rules and regulations, and they held themselves to a very high standard. Their diet was different. Their hygiene was different and much higher than the common man of the day. There were many washings that were required. They looked different, they ate different, they talked different, and they felt very superior to everyone else. Now we have Jesus saying, we're tearing that down. I am now going not just to the Gentiles, because I think the Jews probably would have been somewhat okay if he had gone to the ruling class, because they were good enough to come in. The ruling class could have been a benefit to the average Jew. But that's not who Jesus was working with. He was working with publicans and sinners, and they were so far beneath the Jew. Look at them. They don't even wash their clothes. Look at how they eat. They eat pork, and they'll even have cheese on their plate with their meat. Can you believe it? Can you imagine somebody so nasty as that? Not only that, these people are bona fide sinners. They're unabashed sinners. When Jesus says he's meeting with sinners, he's not speaking in generic terms that they were just, you know, we're all sinners. We all agree that we're sinners. No, Jesus was meeting with people that were obviously and outwardly engaged in sin that was public. And those are the ones he's talking to. And the Jews are being very frustrated by this. This is ours. You are of the tribe of David. We are the house of Israel. You are coming to save us from Rome. Stop dealing with these deadbeats that you're out here talking to. And Jesus says, my kingdom is coming. And I'm now calling all men into my kingdom. It's not just a Jewish system anymore. What does it mean to be in the kingdom? Well, it doesn't necessarily mean just to be in the church. The kingdom, the church is the central and focal point of the kingdom, but being in the kingdom means that, everyone that's in the kingdom is those who bow their knee to the king. If you call Jesus king, you are in his kingdom.
Right.
And that is who Jesus is writing this parable to. So, what is the meaning of this parable? So the context is that the Jews are upset that he's calling the Gentiles. And I believe the meaning of this parable is that the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of heaven, is one of mercy.
Amen.
The Jews had grown up under a system of law, and it was black or it was white. You sin, here is your penance. This is how you eat. This is how you worship. When it comes time to sacrifice an animal, here are the steps you take. And if you don't take those steps, the penalty could be death. Those was what the Jew was, what they knew. They knew right and wrong. There was no shade of gray. And Jesus is coming and he's saying, now the kingdom that I am bringing in is a kingdom of mercy. It is a kingdom of compassion. It is a kingdom that is calling people to come in. And though some may find my mercy unfair or even unjust, it's merciful. And that is what he's trying to tell them. And in verse 15, he does it most explicitly. He says, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? This is my kingdom. It's not yours. You are here to enjoy me.
Yeah.
So don't put up barriers to those that want to come in and enjoy me. And that's what the Jews were trying to do. They were wanting to put up barriers. They were saying, these people aren't fit. Don't you realize we're the ones who have held the line of Abraham? And now you've got all these Johnny-come-latelys that are showing up, and you are allowing them to eat with you and have access to you, and that's just not right. But Jesus said, rather than work under the old law, rather than require them to go do ritual washings and cleansings, rather than require them to be circumcised, rather than require them to do all of the things and denounce their life and come in to the Jewish system, he says, no, I'm going to sit with them because I want them in the kingdom because they love me and I love them.
Amen.
And just because you've been here longest doesn't give you exclusive right to me. That is the meaning of this parable. But what are some of the applications? I believe one of the applications to draw is in the church. Not Jew and Gentile anymore, but members of a church family and as a church body. And I use the term church family on purpose. When you look around you, there is a bond that is within this building so often more powerful than the bond of your last name.
Amen.
There are people that I know that never see their brothers and sisters in the flesh. They have no fellowship with them because of the way that they have chosen to live their life and the decisions they've made. And there's just no fellowship. I have seen parents who will not speak to children and vice versa. I've seen grandparents who are alienated from their grandchildren. But friends, we're coming together in the house of the living God. We are sitting together. We commune together. We wash each other's feet. Though we're not linked by the blood of a family, we are linked by the blood of Christ, which is a much more powerful bond. And oh, how improper it would be for us to say, I've been here a long time, and I think I have rights and obligations that somebody who's just shown up really shouldn't have. It's improper and it's inadequate, and it is condemned by Jesus himself. Now, so often we look at that. We look at the person who's been here the longest and say, you shouldn't look down on those who haven't been here. But I would like to switch that around now and look at it the other direction. I want to look at it from the bottom up. Because there are many that can take this parable as a license to never come to the church. And they say, as long as I make it, I can squeak in the last second. Jesus has said the one who came 1 hour before quitting time got the same rights as the man that had been there all day. So I'm just going to hang outside of the church. I'm going to hold on to my... Giving to the church, that's kind of steep. I think I'd rather not do that. I would rather not have the accountability of coming to a church. So I'm just going to hang on the edge and come maybe periodically, if even that often. But then at the very end, I'm going to sneak in and I'm going to get my penny for the day and enjoy myself and be good. Friends, I want to use this parable as a way to show that that is no way to live. That's a very difficult road that you have chosen. You think that's a road of liberty. I can be my own man. I can make my own decisions, and no one is going to say anything to me. But friends, choosing that road is a road of bondage.
Amen.
The church and having accountability in the church is not restricting. It is liberating.
Amen.
Because it allows you to do what your heart wants to do, not what your sinful soul craves. There were laborers in the vineyard. They were in a market. Before they were in the vineyard, they were in the marketplace. And the husbandman went out. The owner of the vineyard went out, and he began to choose laborers. Now, if you are going to be choosing and hiring laborers, and I'm sure many of you have done that, Brother Charlie made a career of doing that, who do you choose first? You choose the best. You choose the most skilled. You choose the ones you can trust, and you bring them in, and you put them to work. Then he goes back 3 hours later, and there's still some sitting around. Well, who's that? Who's left? Well, that's the B squad, okay? They're not the best. They've been passed over. They have some talent. They have some things they can do. But they definitely were not picked first, and they come on in. He does it again at 6, 9, and then 11. What he's giving them is a penny a day, and we look at that and go, that is so trivial, I don't know why anybody would even get out of bed for a penny. Well, in this day, a penny was a living wage, and it was a wage for essentially one day. Those that came to the vineyard and were that came to the marketplace and were chosen first to go to the vineyard, from the very first morning, from the very first hour of the morning, they knew they were going to have a home to go home to, and food waiting for them when they got there, because they could afford it. They had their wage for the day. What about those that waited until the third hour? They were beginning to wonder. But then they were able to go, and then they knew that they were set for that day, that their bellies would not be empty, that their children would not cry for bread. But what about the one that waited till the 11th hour? It's now dusk. Yeah. The day is almost over. They are destitute. If they do not get that penny, they will likely have no home to go to. They will have nothing to eat. Their family will not eat. The more of those days that go by, the weaker you get, and the more likely you are to never be chosen in the marketplace. Jesus brings them in.
Amen.
Now, what is the application to the church? The application to the church is those that have come in as children to this place, you are receiving blessings that you will never realize that you're receiving. You are receiving teaching from a young age that will stay with you the rest of your life. There are scriptures that will be read from this pulpit that are going to stay with you your entire life. There are role models in this church that teach you, even though you don't realize it, they're teaching you how to be respectable young men and respectable young women. They're teaching you how to be fathers, how to be mothers. They're teaching you how to be grandparents. They're teaching you how to live in the kingdom. And as you get older, there are decisions that you are going to make without thinking that are proper, because that is your experience. But look at the one who waits until the end. Can you feel the stress that is on these men who are, it's now the 11th hour. What are they going to do? Who's going to take care of these people? Have you ever worked with people or been around people in your secular lives and jobs who had never been part of the church, who grew up in a family that they never talk to each other, they just yell at each other? And every small thing that happens in their life is tragedy and calamity.
Yeah.
I have known people that have received bonuses in their work, and the first thing they say is, oh my gracious, I don't know what I'm going to do with this bonus. The taxes are going to be held out, and they're going to get me at the end of the year, that I'm going to have to come up with money to do. Stop.
Right.
See this as a mercy. But they are so plagued with fear and concern. They have not the consolation of Christ. Their life is nothing but a continual up and down pattern, rather than a consistent line that the Christian should demonstrate.
Amen.
Friends, we look at this, and as I said, it's so easy to say, let's just wait. But I'm telling you, the more you wait, the more your anxiety will grow. The more of this world will creep in on you, the more difficult it's going to be for you. But for those that have come early, don't look and say, boy, I think I should have waited, because you are cashing checks that you never even knew you earned because of the legacy that has come in this church. So, is it glamorous to come early? No. Jesus tells them, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. So basically, members of this church, what is your responsibility? Your responsibility is to be last. Your responsibility is to help those that have come in after you.
Amen.
Your responsibility as a church member and as a kingdom living saint is to help those who don't have what you have yet. and to get them to the place where they can trust in Jesus, where they can read his word and find joy in it, where they can pray and know that they've been heard. For those that have come in last, it's better than not coming at all. But don't delay.
Amen.
If there are any today that are waiting, thinking that it'll get better, well, let me just get to a better spot in my life. Friends, you'll never get to a better spot in your life. Come today.
Amen.
Be in the vineyard today. There's safety here. There's passion here. There's mercy here. Come to the vineyard.
Amen.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from
cleansing flood.